This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Taking the names down from the hill is a new campaign being launched by socialcoast.org. It's designed to bring attention to place names throughout the communities in and around Victoria, BC, where there have been streets, buildings, and areas named after people or things with an often disturbing history. Social Coast activists hope to educate the public about colonization and decolonization and the traditional place names on Saanich, Lekwungen, and Esquimalt territory. The group will work with a number of organizers and projects that are already doing work around decolonization, invasive species pulls, and reclaiming traditional lands. They want to end the celebration of names like Trutch, Begbie, Sutledge, and more, and help to show people the real meanings of these names. We're joined on the phone by Eric Nordahl, the coordinator of socialcoast.org.
Welcome back to People First Radio, Eric.
Thanks for having me on the show again.
Tell us about the Taking the Names Down from the Hill project. How did it originate?
Well, this has been a little while in the making, I suppose. This is a project that we've wanted to do for, I'd say, almost a year now. Just the idea of educating ourselves and educating the community on our history, what colonization means and all these things is something we've been meaning to take on for a little while. We're lucky to have a good friend of ours who's a Saanich man. His name is Philip Kevin Paul, he's been studying the language and the history of Saanich he's dedicated most of his life to it. So he's been a major part of this project and helping to see it launch. And so there's just been a number of things, and the timing just worked out really well. With all the I Don't Know More things that have been happening. And in particular, actually, just down the road from where I live is Vancouver Street. And somebody, this was a number of months back, but somebody posted just a sheet of paper with a fact about who George Vancouver was. And we thought that was super interesting. We thought maybe we could take this project, a step further.
If somebody asks you, why does this matter? Isn't this all ancient history? It really doesn't have any impact on us today. What would you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting thing, and that's something that's people have been kind of saying, it's too late to bring these things up or that kind of stuff. But the truth is it's only 150 years ago or just a little bit over was the colony of British Columbia was established, and thousands of years prior to that there is a history of people that have lived here and have had a culture. I guess the other thing about that as well is that, street names and just changing the name of a street may seem like it's kind of superficial, but for us, starting the conversation, talking to people, meeting different people in the community and having discussions about colonization, having discussions about sovereignty issues, these are very timely things. So 150 years is a pretty brief history, and it's not too late to change some of these things. And there is a resurgence, I think, in the ideas of sovereignty and decolonization coming up.
Give us a little more information about some of these place names that you're focusing on. You've mentioned Sutledge. I think it's Sutledge Street, for example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Sutledge is pretty, I guess, low-hanging fruit. Like, it's a pretty obvious one. Sutledge is named after a gunship that essentially went around and... If there was any sort of uprisings in the colony, most of these were indigenous people were, if they weren't getting along with the colonizers, it would roll in, and boats like these along the coast were very instrumental in that. For example, Housed or Neuchâtel territory, which I guess most people would recognize as Tofino, there was 9 Housed villages that were leveled from the Sutledge ship during the Comox Potato War, as well the Sutledge was sent out and the Chilcotin War. So it was kind of up in the 1860s. It kind of rolled up and down the coast here, bombing villages essentially, and now there's a street named after it.
You said there were 9 villages destroyed by this warship,
yeah,
or gunship. My goodness.
gunship, I suppose. Yeah, warship.
You've also identified Begbie Street.
Yeah, Begbie's an interesting one, too. You know, looking into a lot of these histories, you know, a quick search or looking through, you know, the history of Victoria Street names, books at the library, they all give a very, like, just on the surface of what was Begbie. He was he loved the opera, and, you know, he was a good guy, and he spoke these languages, indigenous languages, and he really had a... He was really for, you know, justice and things like that. But digging a little deeper, and I guess it really depends on the perspective that you're looking at it from, but, you know, Begbie was one of the... He was the first Attorney General of the colony of British Columbia, and really what he was coming and doing, and he was imposing a colonial law upon a place where there was already, you know, thousands of people over... Well, it was about 90% of the population at the time was indigenous, and they had a law, they had systems of law, and they had systems of governance. And then people like Begbie, or Begbie himself, came in and imposed this colonial law. And throughout his tenure in the colony of British Columbia, about 90% of the people that he had hanged were indigenous. And so it really just shows a perspective of what they were doing and how hard they had to work to impose this law. And it wasn't just a, you know, it's an interesting history that isn't often uncovered, yeah.
Now, Trutch Street, Trutch, is that named after the first lieutenant governor of BC?
Yeah, so, and he was also the first lands commissioner as well. And he was responsible in terms of, in relation to this campaign, he reduced the size of the reserves in British Columbia to about 10% of their original size. And so if you look across, you know, the rest of this country, through the prairies, for example, you'll see that reserves are much, much larger, but Trutch was very instrumental in ensuring that the reserves here in British Columbia were reduced to a fraction of the size. And some of the quotes that he has, just in his perspective on what he thought of the indigenous populations here, just I'd actually almost rather not repeat them just because it's nice and worth saying, but they're definitely, it shows the perspective of the first people that were... creating this history here.
Now, Trutch is a common place name. It's used in multiple communities, from what I gather, in situations. And I came across, in preparing for this interview, came across an interesting article. It's based, actually, it's a transcript of a speech that the Strait, over in Vancouver, the Strait editor, Charlie Smith, gave at Kwantlen Polytechnic University on July the 21st, I believe, 2012, at the launch of Gurpreet Singh's new book. And the book was called, or is called, Fighting Hatred with Love, Voices of the Air India Victims Families. Now, I just want to choose a couple of quotes from that speech by Charlie Smith. He says, "I find it somewhat disgusting that in Vancouver, where I live, there's a street named after Joseph Trutch, who played such a major role in discriminating against the First Nations. But there's no street named after Gurdit Singh, who played a major role in fighting racism. For a long, long time, this tragic event was commemorated," and he's talking about a boat, a situation with the Komagata Maru. "For a long, long time, this tragic event was commemorated with a tiny plaque at the foot of Thurlow Street in a little bit of green space that nobody knew existed." And I guess what I'm asking you about, Eric, is the full-on kind of background to this and the I guess you might say, the deep racism that is hidden behind what we see in things like place names.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost something that I didn't notice as much before, but it's very prevalent, and it is very amazing. I mean, even just walking down the street the other day, there's a Sutlej Memorial, and there is a lot of racism, and I think Canada as a nation, you know, there is a lot of that right across this country, and I definitely here in British Columbia as well, yeah.
The same article, and this is by Charlie Smith, The Strait. The University of British Columbia historian Henry Yu has pointed out what we really experienced in British Columbia was a prolonged period of white supremacy. It wasn't white supremacy like in Hitler's Germany, where people were sent to gas chambers. It wasn't white supremacy like in the southern United States, where blacks were lynched. But it was white supremacy nonetheless. People couldn't vote, they couldn't join the professions, and they were prevented from immigrating. It's our legacy in British Columbia, people, that people aren't comfortable acknowledging this in such a blunt way because it raises all sorts of uncomfortable issues. Are you getting any uncomfortable, I guess you might say, backlash to what you're trying to do in Victoria?
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, the idea of bringing up the idea of colonization is a struggle for a lot of people, and it's, you know, it's a process of understanding for sure. It's something that takes time, and it takes a lot of uncomfortable situations. You know, I was educated by the public school system here, so I have the same kind of upbringing, and you know, it's not an easy thing always to deal with, but it's definitely something worth understanding and worth going through. I would suggest for anybody that maybe doesn't see some of these things is to look into even things like the Indian Act, which was written, I think, in 1876 and is still used today as a piece of legislation. And just reading through that and just seeing that there is the Indian Act is a tool to assimilate the people, the indigenous people of this country, and it's not used to ensure that their culture survives or support their culture, or support sovereignty in any way. And so it's very interesting. And, you know, we think of ourselves as a very progressive place socially, but, you know, there's a lot of work that definitely needs to happen.
What would you say to someone who might ask you the following? If you succeed in discarding or getting certain place names or street names removed or replaced, aren't you, in a sense, throwing out any good that might be associated with those names along with the bad?
Oh, like we'd be hiding the history maybe if we changed the name of Trutch?
Well, did Trutch do good as well, as I guess is what I'm asking.
Right. I don't think so. I guess it depends on your perspective. But reading into the history that I've read, of Trutch and of the first people that came and, you know, colonized this area, I wouldn't say that there's enough good to celebrate. And, you know, I think the biggest thing about these place names and street names is understanding that there were place names before 150 years ago. You know, there was a language and there was culture here, and to just pave over that literally with streets and name it after somebody that that really had no history here. And I think that's the bigger discussion to have. And so to say, you know, we can change some new street names, what will that change? It's not necessarily the symbolic act of changing the street names. I think it's the discussions that will happen. And it is a first small step in just showing some respect, saying, yes, we won't name this street after a gunship that bombed these villages.
Eric Nordell, thanks for taking the time to join us. Nice to speak with you again. And I guess for more information on this, anyone who's interested can go to socialcoast.org.
Absolutely.
Eric Nordell is the coordinator of socialcoast.org.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.